Oh, good morning. Wonderful. Wonderful to have you here. People from all different places, people of all generations, and that's what's wonderful about a church. A church is supposed to mirror the community. And so when we do that, we know the Lord is working amongst us, and it's so great to have you here. I just want to have a disclaimer about this thing that you did, the prime timers last night. If I was there, the men would have won. So disclaimer, just put it in quotes, put a star by it, put my face up there. All right. There you go. So wonderful. Boy, that ice cream sounds good. Thank you. Thank you for having those type of things. Wonderful time of fellowship. You know, I don't know about you, but family is interesting, and you get a lot of fun stories from families. And I had a great aunt that passed away a while back. Her name was Edith. And she was really a good friend. I got to know her, you know, as she, you know, later in life, and I was coming into my adult years and stuff. And I would go visit her in Massachusetts, you know, from California to Massachusetts. So, you know, and I would spend a part of the summer, maybe about a month with her, you know, for about two or three summers, just to get to know her. She'd tell me a little bit about all the, you know, the family and all that stuff. And she always had a kind of an interesting habit. See, she liked to mow her lawn. She got on her little tractor mower, and she got on and started mowing. You know, and she loved it. A lot of people love that, right? It's kind of therapy, you know, it's kind of mowing down things, kind of a guy thing, too. Ah, yeah, like that, right? Yeah, Randy's smiling. Yeah, right? So, you know, she had a funny habit, though. As she's getting older in life, you know, when she got tired, she would just get off her tractor mower there and just lie down on the grass and just nice and still, and she'd just put her hands on her chest like this and just rest. And she probably didn't even turn off the tractor, okay? So that's kind of lady she was, because she was just going to take a little nap and get back up and start rolling again. Well, one of her neighbors one day was driving by, and she saw my great aunt lying on the grass just like this, and she said, "She's dead." So she pulled over and got out there and ran, you know, "Are you alive? Edith, are you alive?" You know, and then her eyes popped up, wait, and big smile, yeah, you know. So that's why she lived life, you know. She was a very lively person. You know, and, you know, so there's life. Sometimes sometimes I get up in the morning, I look at, in the mirror, I go, "Are you alive?" I don't know. You know, so today we're going to look a little bit about that. I do know, though, this. When I was a kid, when things just weren't going the way I wanted it, Joy will be happy I'm going to confess this. Might still try it today. We'll see. What I would do is this. Things weren't going right, I'd just fall straight back, protest. I'm dead. I wouldn't say people knew. You know, you just fall back and hit the floor. Well, after a couple of hard falls, when things weren't going right, I'd be looking for that fluffy beanbag or the couch. And then, you know, I had two older brothers, okay? If you're the youngest, you understand what I'm talking about, right? Right? You know, so you just, and then, boom, you know, that's my protest. And, you know, I was so reaffirmed when I read Elijah. And, you know, Elijah was having a tough time, too. And he said something, you know, and I think it was 1 Kings there. He said, "I'm going to die." You know, after he had that great thing going on Mount Carmel, and things just went perfect, you know, and then all of a sudden he just says, you know, "I just want to die." And then I was even reaffirmed even more than that. Jonah did the same thing after he went and preached in Nineveh, after being spit out of that fish. You know, he didn't like what God was doing. He said, "Shh, just take me now. I want to die." So I'm not alone in that. And you know what's more interesting than that? The church does that. We're the church. We do that. Things aren't going right. Things are getting tough. You know what the church does? I want to die. And it just gets all, you close the doors, you don't go out anymore, you don't listen to people, you just all get huddled up and you start getting closer and closer and just thinking, we're okay, you know, just trying to encourage one another, we're okay. You know, don't worry about those guys out there. They don't know, they're no good, they don't deserve anything. Our whole hearts and minds get twisted up. You see, this passage we're reading today, we're going to see the doctor coming into the house because he's going to test our, check out our vital signs. You know, what's our heartbeat? Do we have a heartbeat? Do we have a pulse rate? You know, the church, when it loses heart, that heartbeat just slows down. When we're not following the commands of God, where we are supposed to go out in all the world to be a witness, from Jerusalem to Samaria to the, you know, to Judah, all that, to the ends of the earth. And then we're also supposed to make disciples of the nations. And yet when the church refuses because it's just not the way we expected it, I didn't sign up for this, well, then the heartbeat slows down and it starts to shrink. And the church is dying. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because Peter knew this. He knew this was going to happen if it wasn't already happening this time. And he was writing this letter to encourage and to remind and to warn us of these things. That will happen. We will face persecution. We will face those dreary days of just nothing going right. But he says, you know, there's a doctor coming. And there's a couple things that we know in this passage that Steve read there. There's a, you know, when your heart is having trouble or maybe it's even stopped, you know what they do sometimes? When they give you what? They give you a boom. They thump your heart. I mean, they hit you. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. I'll leave that up to you. All right. Thump the heart. So what thumps the heart of the church to get it alive? And then what does a vibrant and alive church look like? Well, we're going to read it. We're going to learn about that today. So let's pray before we go on. Father God, we do ask that you'll open up our hearts and minds, that you'll give me the words, Lord. If it's my own words, then we may also just go home. Because then we're just a club and there's no power. So, Father, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will move these words in our hearts, convict us, teach us, mold us, shape our lives to be the lives that you want us to be, to bring honor and glory to your name. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, you start off there. We got to look at the heart thump first, you know, because it's a boom. So the church, and we tend to go up and down in our walk, right? And there's a lot of low times, and you're just kind of wondering, what's this about? What's this about? You know, I don't know. But then when you see these first words there in verse 7, it says, the end of all things is near. Well, then, kaboom! Because now you're reminded, oh, there is an end. And the end is near. What is this end? Well, when I think about the end, my mind just starts zooming around and I start going, oh, it's the coming of Christ, the King. See, he already came as the baby, Christmas, we celebrate that, Christmas. But now, but there's a time when he's coming back as the King of Kings. On that big white horse. And he's going to make all things new. I think of the rapture when he takes the church up. I don't know when that is, through the tribulation, before, after. I don't. But I know one thing. He's going to bring us people, and we're all going to meet in the air together. Those who have gone before us and died, and those who are still alive. See, that gets me excited. I don't know about you. Does that? And then in that song, you know, you're standing by the heroes of faith, singing unto the Lord. Hallelujah for the Lamb who was slain. Oh, how worthy he is. Our salvation belongs to him. Moses and Elijah and all these other great names, the Abrahams, the Pauls, the Peters, your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your best friend, your sibling, your child, stood firm in faith, and you get to stand with them and praise the Lord together in that heavenly language. See, that gets my heart beating. Okay, when I'm sloshing around, I'm going, shoot, I just read the word, and I go, oh, man, it's just so boring. But then when God finally thumps my heart and says, I'm coming, then it gets me excited, and it starts getting me back on the path that he wants me to go on, to be a witness for him, to praise him, to be a blessing to others. You know, it's just an amazing word, and what he does for us is he's so gracious. And what Steve read there for the call of worship, it's a powerful passage there. Wake up! Wake up, church! Your business is unfinished. You're dead. And so we need the doctor to come in and check out our hearts. And then you go into Revelations 22 here. And it says this, 22:12. It says this, look, I am coming soon. This is not my words. This is Jesus' words. This is the King of Kings' words. This is the one who all the creation was created through and for and from. And above all other things, all creation will give him glory and praise. This is Christ himself. Look, I am coming soon. And if you've ever been watching that Chosen series, that word soon is so special because it can be in Thai, they go, baptio. And they said, baptio, you better watch out because you don't know when it's going to come. You don't know, it could be right then and there. Or it could be several minutes, or it could be days. Or in case of Christ, we don't know. Today, right now, tomorrow, next year, another 2,000 years, don't know. But he says, soon, my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. If that doesn't give your heart a little thump, then we got to pray for the Holy Spirit to give you the AED machine out, get the AED machine out and power it up and zap you that way, all right? And he will do that because he is faithful. He is faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, he is always faithful. So then I go, well, what about this? Then I go, we got to look at this because the doctor's in the house. He's checking vital signs. Well, where did he check vital signs of the church? Well, go to Revelation there in chapter 2 and 3. And you look at the church of Ephesus. And what's going on there? He's going, hey, you know, you've forsaken the love you had at first. So there's an issue there. That church of Ephesus, they're growing cold. They forgot their first love. Why are they walking with the Lord? They just kind of got involved in all these other things. And Smyrna, the next one, you know, he's looking and said, you're going through a lot of suffering and persecution. And boy, going through a lot of suffering and persecution kind of take your heart out too, can it? It can. Tough times. But he says, don't be afraid because there's other things he has for us and he is faithful. He says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. I like that. I like that. Pergamum says, you know, you're going through a tough time. You know, Satan is right there. But you're trying to remain true and everything here. And then he's saying, you know, but you know what? I have a few things against you. There are some of you who hold to teachings of Balaam, you know, these false teachings get into the church. Have you ever, you know, this happens, right? Even now, today, false teachings gets into the church, and then the church becomes, it's not a body of Christ any longer, it's just a club. They can call themselves a church if they want, but unless you have Jesus Christ at the center, you're a club. Oh, you could be doing good things, that's okay. You could be a club and do good things, you know. There's a lot of clubs around here who do good things for the community and stuff. Okay, that's fine. But if you want to be a church, then you need to have Christ right at the center of it. So these guys going after false teaching, Thyatira, you know, pretty much, you know, they're following, you know, Jezebel type teachings. You know, there's a lot of sexual immorality and all these things going on there. They're losing their way. They're getting conformed to the world around them. So easy for the church to do, to get conformed. But God calls us to be unconformed, but actually to be what? Transformed by the renewing of our minds, which transforms through our hearts. And his power working in us, changing us into a church that will bring glory to his name. Sardis, he says, you know, you have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. This is the one about wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. It's always waking up. Philadelphia. Ooh, Philadelphia? There's a church called Philadelphia? Whew. I'm not going to say any more about that because I don't like Philadelphia. I do want to visit, though, and see all the historical stuff there. That's for sure. The Independence Bill and all that. There, you know, they're going through persecution here, if you look at that. Says, see, I have a place before you, an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. So even through the tough times, he's going to deal with it. We can't. Some things are just too, we try, but it's better just to pray and give it to the Lord, right? And then Laodicea, you know, they're going through time. And he's saying here, listen to this. It says, I know your deeds that you are neither cold nor hot. Do you like hot coffee or cold coffee? But how about that lukewarm stuff? Ooh, I see head shaking. Lukewarm stuff doesn't satisfy. I have to have it either hot or cold. It doesn't. If it's too cold, I can't drink it, but it has to be cool anyways, right? But just lukewarm stuff, you know. I am about to spit you out of my mouth. That's what it says here. That's Jesus' words. You say I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. See, he's the doctor. And you know what's really wonderful, though? He checks the vital sign, says, you've got some issues here. Or you're going through a tough time. But you know what he does? He says, I got a reward for you. See, if you read this on your own, and you find out there are powerful, wonderful rewards for those who are faithful to him, who stand firm to the very end, even to the point of death. The reward is there. Sometimes I read, I kind of go, wow, they sound marvelous. I don't really understand them, but they sound marvelous. And one day we will have that if we stay faithful to the Lord. Heart thump. So, how's Mountaintop Alliance Church doing? Do we need a heart thump? Good question. Think about for yourself. So then we go, well, what does a vibrant, alive church look like? Well, then you go down there and you go back to 1 Peter 4 and you check that out because he just spells it out there. He just kind of gives us a little thing. He says, you know, and then all things, he says, therefore be alert and sober mind and of sober mind so that you may, what? Pray. That's one vibrancy of church you can see. See, a church that prays is a church that is close to God's heart. Because why? Prayer is your heart is connecting with his heart. Did you think about that? You're speaking. You might be speaking English or whatever language it is, but your heart is speaking to his heart in that spiritual language, empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is the most attacked area of your life. Did you know that? Because I can go all the churches, all the great preachers, all the great churches are growing, all the people. And I ask them, what do you lack? They say, prayer. We always need more prayer. Always, because we're speaking to this God who is the source of all things in the universe. So when things are not going right, I just don't have enough. I can't get out. I don't have enough money for today, or my job's falling apart, or, you know, we got to call upon the name of the Lord because he knows all the answers, all the resources, all that is perfect and good come from the Father of the heavenly lights. No person, though once in a while maybe somebody can help you out, maybe some system, political system, maybe a book, maybe a song, I don't know, I mean, sometimes that can work for you for a little bit, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, we need somebody that we can always depend upon, and that's God the Father, and he's there, so we pray. So be sober, you know to be sane, you know, to be alert, to be thinking things, you know, not just going, you know, la, 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 la throughout the day, but to actually see what's going on around you in your life and in lives of the people around you, and you're able to evaluate that and pray appropriately by the power of the Holy Spirit. And soberly, you know, you're not intoxicated by the world where it distracts you and causes your mind to wander, the addictions of food or drugs or games or entertainment or anything else gets in there. It messes with your mind and your heart. Actually, it starts here at the heart and then goes up here and you just can't focus. Well, praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit who, even in our groanings, he'll pray with us and for us. We have an advocate because God is faithful. But prayer is one vital, you know, one of the vital signs of a church. If a church isn't praying, I believe it's dying. So our church is known for praying, and we are praying. And there are opportunities to pray even more. And I trust as God revives us as the church, I guarantee you, when revival happens, people are going to be coming all times of the day just to come and pray with others. I've seen it. I've seen it in New York when they had that revival going on. People at business hours and stuff like that, they'd leave their lunches to go over there and they'd start praying. Every day. That's revival. That's where God is just saying, you know, your hearts are taken over so much that you can't think about anything. You've got to be with God. And then here, so prayer is so critical. And another pulse rate is love. Critical. Love. Deeply. Love as if your life depends on it. That's how much you're supposed to love. You know, with this type of action, not like, I'll do a little bit of, I'll love a little bit here. No, it is a full out, full on, earnest love. It's a love that it causes you to forgive others even though they hurt you so bad. Because now, you know what? Christ, you remember Jesus Christ? When he hung on a cross, he was innocent. He suffered unjustly. Remember, the righteous for the unrighteous. And so when we suffer, not for doing something wrong, we are now suffering, participating in Christ's suffering. And there's something empowering about that. So when we start forgiving and blessing those who hurt us, see, when Christ was on the cross, what did he do? He forgave us. Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We are to do the same thing. And I tell you, that's what turns not just your heart closer to God, but it impacts those you're praying for and blessing, even though they know they hurt you. They don't give a rip. They're hurting. When you're hurting, you're going to strike anybody that's close to you. So that forgiveness is so precious and so powerful. And there's testimonies here. I'm not going to say, but there's testimonies in this church about forgiveness. So precious. That's love in action. And love in action, more, if you want to go more, into that too, you could, the love is what binds all things together is in perfect unity is love. That's Colossians 3:14. So precious. And then, more than that, see, the church tends to, when we get things that are not going right and all that, we tend to hide from the world and we conform to the world. But Christ is calling us to shine for the world. Shine for the world. And love is where Christ says, well, hey, when you're loving one another, disciples, when you're loving one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, when you're loving one another, people know you're my disciples. They will know that. They might not like it. They might not approve, but they'll know. And then, other aspects of love that you come right there is hospitality. Offering hospitality to others. And that's a display of love. And it says, without grumbling. Oh, that takes the fun out of it. Because we know we like to grumble. I'm trying not to look at anybody too closely. But I'll get a little bit closer here. Mirror. All right. And then you got the serving part. He's given everyone here, he's given you gifts. You might not even be a Christian. You might only be following Christ. You still have gifts. He's given them you abilities, but he's also given you gifts. See, these gifts are to serve the church and make it stronger, but also to serve the community. Those guys in Thailand, the Yangs, they're out there. They don't know the language real well yet. They're still serving. You guys do. You know the language, or somewhat. And you get out there, and all the people around you. You're ministering. You're the priest. You're the priest out there. Did you know you're a royal priesthood? That you're a chosen people. That you're God's special possession. That you're a holy nation. That's what we are, in Christ. We're nothing special about ourselves. We don't deserve anything. But in Christ, we have it all. Now, we're not supposed to walk in, pride, I'm better than you. We are to walk humbly and gently in love and offer the blessings and the kindness to others. That's where we shine in our community. That's where we shine in our families. That's when we shine in our schools and our workplaces. That's it. That serving, and we serve by in the grace of God, by God's grace. And then he says, speak to one another with words of God. words of God. Speak those scriptures to encourage one another. Pray those. Give testimony to his awesome deeds. Speak the words of God. Those words are powerful because they're not just if they're words of God, those are powerful, life-changing words that others hear. They might go, ooh, don't want to listen. They might shut you off and all that stuff. But you know what? What it does, it goes boop, and it goes whoop, right down to the heart. And God just starts working. Yeah. God just works it. He just continues. He's working all the time. We aren't, but he is. So speak in those words. Everything is on God. And serving and all this stuff, we're doing it in the strength of God. God's strength. So all this, you know, without God, we can't do it. Sorry. You can look like you're doing something good, but it's all going to fall away in the end. But we are looking for this end time when Christ has come back, where things are now going to be eternal. People and his word only. People and his word only will last forever. Amen. Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. So you got this. Church, vibrancy, check the rate of the pulse. And then you go, you know, you're starting to get, you're out there and you're moving and you're praying and you're getting in word. You're, you know, the life groups and women's Bible study, you got the Sunday school, you got all these things, you got the prime timers, all the fellowship and just praying together and you know, just good, just gets our hearts beating again. And the doctor comes and he checks that pulse rate. How you doing? Boom, 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 boom. Some people are boom, boom. That's all right. That's all right. It's still beating. It's important. It's very important because we get to praise him. All of his dominion, his power and glory with those heroes of the faith. I think there's heroes of the faith right here. I get to stand beside and sing those songs unto the Lord. So, are you alive? Come on. Are you alive? Right here. You can come up here. You can come down here. Are you alive? How's it going? Are you walking this earth like a burnt stick just pulled out of the fire in time before you went? Are you walking, living this life like, I got it all? Complacency? I'm already a Jesus follower. I don't care. I don't need to do anything more. Or are you walking this earth, living this life, and it's just crushing down on you, just squeezing the life out of you, and where you're just going day by day, step by step, survival only? Well, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club, because everybody goes through it. Everybody. Welcome to the club. And that's where we come together and we got one another's back. That's when we get together and we raise hands and we just pray. We fall on our knees or whatever it takes. We just pray. Sometimes we don't even know what we're praying, but God knows. Come together in those life groups and get in the word and encourage one another. You know, we pray for one another, you know, and we sing. We do all these things. So critical to the life of the church to be alive in Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? How we can live our lives and We allow this earth, this world, our own selves, you know, we get into those attitudes like an Elijah or a Jonah or a John. You know, just sit there, oh, I'm dead. I want to die. I want to die. But praise the Lord, God saying, no, not yet. I still got use for you. And I don't care. You know, I know I'm going to push you. I'm going to move you. You might not like it, but I'm going to move you. And you're going to be a blessing to your family, to your community, to the world. Yangs went over to Thailand. They're in that city where we were, ministering to the Thai people. We have people here to minister, and there'd be people here that he might just send somewhere else. Not done with us yet. Boom. Let that heart thump of just remembering Christ is coming as the King. Get that heart started again. And remember what a vibrant Christian life looks like. And serve the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. And we'll see our community change. We'll see our families change. And definitely we'll see ourselves change. We might notice that other people will. Because Christ is working in us. And in Romans 15:13, it says something like, the God of hope, for the God of hope will fill us, will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will abound in hope. And that's my prayer for each one of us. Abound in hope. Because we know who has us and who is with us and who is working in us. Let him thump the heart. Praise him for the thumps. Remember the thump. That Christ is coming back, and there's such a joy and a reward waiting for us, no matter how hard it is for us, or how many times we want to fall over backwards and die. Allow him to give him that heart thump and keep on moving and be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Father, again, we rejoice in your love and your care and your word and the hope that is in Christ. Lord, we don't deserve it. We certainly didn't earn it. Lord, it is all by grace, the grace of who you are, your grace, your mercy in our lives that allows us to start over again, that allows us to get out of those lifeless states and to get alive again. So thump our hearts with those reminders of our coming King and the great rewards awaiting for us. And remind us of what it is to be a follower of Christ and a vibrant follower of Christ and all that is involved in that and what it looks like. And help us be faithful. And bless us to be a blessing. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, and all those people say, amen. Amen.